82, and welcome to the Tales from a Long Box podcast. This is episode 126, the best of 2013. And I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb. I am H.O. Gerard.
H.O.? Okay. Sure.
In my humble opinion.
Okay. Oh. Okay, I got you. Doesn't work as good when you say it instead of, you know.
LOL, LOL.
LOL! Okay.
Alrighty. You're crazy. And I am Murray Fox.
Well, let's see. Recording from the...
What? Murray Fox. Okay.
Okay. Yep. Alright. Recording from the secret broadcast booth in the... winter wonderland that is Yosho. We've got 15 degrees last time I looked. Wind chills -4. It got up in the 40s yesterday and melted everything, and now it's all back overnight and still snowing. It's been snowing all day. So yeah. Mm-hmm. So wind chill advisories. It's freaking cold, man.
Got to a chilly 40 degrees last night here in Arizona.
Yeah, whatever.
Wow.
Yeah, and you're getting snow, aren't you, Murray?
Yes, it's starting right now. We've
right
got
now?
The rain warning. We've got the snow squall watch.
Wow. And you're happy about this.
I am, because it's starting at just the right time.
Oh,
it's
I
starting
see.
Right now, and it's starting off slow, but it's going to get really heavy overnight when the snow plows aren't working, and then the freezing rain is going to come, and then I'm going to wake up in the morning to a phone call, and it's going to say, worst case scenario, it's going to say the buses are canceled, which means I still have to go into school, but there won't be anyone there. Or it's going to say, the schools are closed!
All right, then.
And if I don't get a phone call, oh, it's going to be grumpy day in grade 8, let me tell you.
Well, my nephew's got one more day before they have to go back, so they would have canceled it anyway.
Well, hey, just Marie's keep those...
Huh?
Go ahead, Marie, sorry.
Just keep those canceling thoughts coming my way.
Okay, let me do that.
And if not, the spitballs will be coming from the teacher's desk.
Damn right.
There you go. That's funny. All right, let's get this going. This is the best of 2013. I mean, you know, I'm just gonna say it. It is the best. This is what we've decided, and just we really went wide open anything that came out in 2013. For all I concern, even. I don't know if I said that or not, but even if it was like old material that came out in a collected edition from in 2013, that was, as far as I'm concerned, that was good.
Okay.
So I'm interested to see what we've got. Who wants to go first? Who wants to go first?
Oh, let me go first.
All right, go. Because you've been so pleased with your list, so please go.
I'm pleased with myself. I'm at this very moment. I am patting myself on the back. It is.
Well,
I am trying not to pinch a nerve while doing it at the same time. So,
okay. All right.
I kind of went a little different. I set aside like a bunch of categories for myself, and I said which comic book fit the category the best. So, they're all in, you know, taken on their own. Each of these could be top, you know, put into its own top 10 list. But I kind of said okay, top in each category. So my first category was the most improved comic book to come out in 2013.
Ooh, I have that category.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't come up with categories. I just said this is my bunch of stuff that I liked, but that doesn't matter. We didn't.
Okay. Well, mine was. It came out. It started up again, or it restarted in February of 2013, and over the course of the year, it was sucked into two company-wide crossovers. This was a DC book, by the way.
Okay.
It was sucked into two company-wide crossovers. Made no difference to the quality of the book whatsoever. Didn't miss a beat. During the villains month.
It started in February.
Well, it restarted in February.
Yeah.
And that comic book by Jeff Lemire and Andrea Sorrentino, Green Arrow.
Ooh, okay, okay, okay.
Oh, Green Arrow, yeah, that's a good one. I'm way behind on that.
Those poor schmucks, they've had 11 months over the course of 2013. One of those months they had to do with the Villains Month. Didn't miss a beat with the Count Vertigo issue. They had to do a Year Zero crossover with Batman to get a little sales bump. Didn't miss a beat. And it's all fit very cleanly into what Lemire's got going with this Outsiders War that he has going on with Oliver Queen.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. They've had to go the Arrow direction with the book. No big deal. Hasn't, again.
Well, I mean, you know, if it sucks the way it was, you know, why not?
Oh my God, it was a horrible comic, and now it is, in my opinion,
okay. The
best comic that DC is publishing right now.
Wow, but that's a bold claim, sir.
Well, Batman has dropped off in quality.
It's the Year Zero thing's getting old.
It's long. It's drawn out. But,
anyway.
And it's just Green Arrow and Lemire, he's really good. And Sorrentino, I thought, oh my God, what is this guy going to do as an encore to iVampire? And bada bing, we got it.
It takes his art took me a little bit to get used to, but I still like it, and I need to catch up on that. I might just buy trades of it instead.
Well, they started with number 17, so okay. If you want to get where the quality started, number 17, February 2013, is when that book took a 180 turn.
I started it, and then I got sidetracked on other stuff, and I had to cut down on stuff, and that was the ones I cut down on. But anyway, yeah.
Well, there you go. There's my first choice as a best of 2013 from my list. IMHO.
Yeah, I do. I have 17, 18, and 19 bought, but I haven't read any of them.
No. So Murray, you said you also had a most important category. I'm curious.
I did. I don't think it's Yeah, Green Arrow is probably a good choice. Mine, however, was one that started off with the new 52.
Oh.
And they got a new artist. And changed the way they were telling stories, I think. I'm going with Aquaman. These were the first, like...
Most improved, huh?
Yeah, for me, it's most improved. Like, because it was telling stories that were really slow.
Yeah, this
but
is true.
I stopped
reading it a while back, because it's just... You know.
Yeah. I found around... Was it when they did the crossover with the Justice League? When they did the...
Oh,
maybe
Atlantis.
Just after that.
Atlantis Attack Part 2?
Maybe. Either just after that, I think. That was... They started doing... Well, maybe it was... Anyway, it was around that time when Paul Pelletier came on. And
yes.
And we started getting words in the book, and we started getting like full stories in each issue, and we got subplots, and we got like a ton of story in each issue. So for me, that's most improved.
Okay.
It wouldn't shock me if it turned out Pelletier had some input on the stories, because you're right. It was when he came on board that all of a sudden had forward momentum. I agree, 100%.
You know, go ahead,
Murray. Oh,
hello.
We lost Murray.
Are you back?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just coughing.
Oh, okay. You muted yourself. Very nice.
Thank you.
So
Pelletier came. I was saying Pelletier came on, and the book all of a sudden had momentum.
Yeah, you know him. Okay, him and Tony. When I became a fan of Tony Bedard is when he, Pelletier, was on a cross-gen comic called Negation. Have you ever read that?
Oh, yeah.
God, that was such a good book, and I love his art. So I'm gonna have to get that and check it out. Let's see. If I could do most improved. Well, you know what? I'll throw in the Amelia Cole series from Monkey Brain.
Ooh.
That's on my list. And the reason I would call it the most improved is because it started when it first came out. It was $1 or $2.99, and then they dropped it to 99 cents. I'm kind of cheating. But it's still just as good, and I think there's still the same amount of pages, too. So, well, I don't know. Those are a lot of pages in that first one. But that story started out okay, but it's, and then when they do this, the second arc, The Hidden War, that was awesome. That started in July. Came out, yeah, well, at least I bought it on July 18th of 2013. And I really enjoy the story in that. That and Edison Rex are probably the only ones I get from Monkey Brain right now. But you know, that and Edison Rex, I actually have to subscribe to them so that I just get it, just downloads them or whatever when they come out. And it just ended their second arc, so I'm not sure exactly when the next one will come out.
I'm a schmuck. I haven't picked up a single issue. But you guys have talked about it, both of you, at length, and I have never picked up. Since issue one, I haven't picked it up. So
yeah, it. The first, I admit the first arc was a little, you know, but as it got to the end of the first arc, it started getting really good. And then the next arc, which is technically issue 7, The Hidden War, part 1, that's when it really started getting good. So, yeah, I like it a lot.
Yep, it's a series that grows on you.
Yeah, and independent. Are you shocked?
Mm-hmm.
But I really do like that book. And, well, we'll get to that in a minute. You'll be ashamed of it.
I know. It's a Monkey Brain book. And
yeah.
To date, all the Monkey Brain books that I've read consistently, mm-hmm. Which fortunately is only 3, but they have all been pretty good. So. Mm-hmm. Good choice, man. I think this is going to be a good list. I think we're off to a good start.
Yep, I think so too.
All right. I'm going to skip over my next choice, and I'm going to move down the list. I'm going to say the best comic book that came out in 2013 that I would give to a non-comic book reader by our one-time guest, Chris Roberson, and artist Dennis Culver, would be Edison Rex.
Be a good one, yeah. That's on my list, too, is one of the best ones. And you're going to be ashamed of me, but I got to the point where I stopped reading the text part. But
You're missing out.
I know. I'm going to go back and catch up on those. I've been doing that a lot lately, of going back and picking up on books that I let slide for whatever reason.
Yeah, the Rex Files are apparently, I mean, he said it when we were talking to him, is that the Rex Files are going to be important at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah. So each issue, very self-contained. You can get a single issue. And they're all digital, but I think they're being republished.
They are. Yeah, I think it is. I had pre-ordered the first one, and it got delayed like twice on Amazon. So I waited until it comes back out.
We're only 12 issues deep. They're 99¢ a piece. So we're talking a $12 investment if you get the online versions.
Yeah.
The covers are incredibly clever. All of them are plays on. Covers that we all know, like the latest one was a play on the portrait covers that Marvel did many moons ago.
Oh yeah, it was like their 50th anniversary or something like that.
Whatever that was.
Yeah.
Maybe it was. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I think that's right. The little face covers around the border.
Yeah. Well, then they have all the little pictures of the heroes and stuff around the edges too. They even put the little M for Marvel and 99¢ and all that stuff, just like a Marvel comic. I thought that was really good. The meta stuff in this book is what makes me love it.
Yeah, and I think Murray, I think you described it on Facebook, is that it's, you know, what if Lex Luthor killed Superman and had to become a hero? I think that was your description, and that's that's it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because, that's it to a T. All Silver Agey and everything.
So yeah. That's the best book that I read regularly that I would be happy to share with someone going, what is the deal with comic books? And again, because I think there's all the tropes that even people who've never read a comic book would know. You know, the Lex Luthor character transcends comic books. People know Lex Luthor.
Yeah, that's true. He's been in a lot of movies and stuff.
Well, not just that. I mean, you know, he is. You know, he's part of the American lexicon at a certain point. No pun intended. But
you're right. You know, you're absolutely right.
Like saying that's my kryptonite. Everyone knows what that means. So, you know, use my Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
So anyhow, there you go. That's it for me. That
all right. That's a good one. Great. That's a good one. I knew that was going to be on your list. All right, Murray, your turn.
All right, well, I've got that one. I've got Edison Rex as one of my favorite digital series. It's one of the runners up. So Edison Rex and Emilian Cole are both right up there as one of my favorite digital series, but I got to give the favorite one to Masks and Mobsters.
Ooh.
You know, I stopped reading that for some reason.
It's good. I love the art. Mm-hmm. Love the story.
Yeah, those were good stories.
It's really good. I reread it not too long ago. I read it from issue one to whatever issue they're at now, and it's a good. Each issue is standalone, and it's building a world every issue. I'm enjoying it. That is my favorite one. My only complaint is that it hasn't come out in months now, so I'm missing it.
Well, I don't blame you.
I like the long game that they're playing too. With they've teased at the true reason why I can't remember the guy who was killed in the first issue.
Yeah, I remember that.
Dr. Daylight.
Dr. Daylight.
I think it's Dr. Daylight. Daylight.
Yeah, good choice, man.
That is a good book.
That, I would say, is my favorite digital series.
Okay.
All right. Going along that theme, then, I happen to have one that fits that list quite well. I would have to say my favorite is Batman Beyond 2.0. They restarted the Batman Beyond universe titles. Justice League Beyond was another one. But I really like this because they basically – one of the things that made Batman Beyond cartoon and them continuing on in digital form is, you know, you didn't quite know all the stuff that was going on. And towards the end of that, the 1.0, quote unquote, everything was kind of known. And now they've relaunched it and everything is kind of – don't know all the – everything that's going on again. Which is one of the things that, you know, your stuff to learn. And they brought back, you know, well, they did that in the last one, but they brought back Middleman and, you know, there's something happened between Bruce Wayne and Terry. And so Nightwing is the one that's in his ear talking all the time. And it's been some good stuff. Well, man, bad action.
Is Justice League Beyond no longer going then?
Still going.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, let's see. At the end of this, it tells... Justice League Beyond and Batman Beyond 2.0, they come out on Saturdays.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've got... Since they're a buck, I've got those subscribed, so it just charges me and... I can just download it whenever it's there. So, I really do like what they've done. The Justice League Beyond is really good too, but I've always had a obviously since our theme song is the Batman Beyond theme.
Yeah,
we need to do an episode just on that TV show.
Wow, Mask and Mobster. Oh goodness. Okay, so
that's my favorite digital series.
Now, what do you think of the fact that they're bringing Terry? It appears they're going to bring Terry and all them into the regular DCU. Do you think that's going to happen, or are they going to try and keep this separate? Do you think?
Well, okay, this is the deal. When they brought it back before the New 52 relaunch, they had brought it into regular continuity that was going at the time. But if you read enough of Justice League Beyond and this, you'll pick up that this is taking place in the original universe.
The TV universe, then, okay.
Yes, yes, okay. It is. Because in Justice League Beyond, there's a new Flash character, and she's connected to the Speed Force, right? Which she came in the previous series. Well, all the dead super speedsters are in the Speed Force, and they talk to her constantly and give her pointers. And in there is Bart and Wally, as well as Barry and that Quicksilver guy. So, you know, as you know, Wally was taken out. He just doesn't exist in the New 52, but he still exists in the Speed Force in that Justice League book. So, that's in the original universe.
Who is this Wally you keep mentioning? I'm kidding, sorry.
Yeah. If you know who I'm talking about, if you're an old timer, you know. Which they're supposed to bring him back, but, you know, be careful what you wish for.
He'd be evil. Evil?
Alright, so that's my favorite digital.
Alright. Okay, well, my next one is the comic book that is consistently fun and consistently want to read it every single month. And sometimes I forget that I want to read it. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I'll get to it. And then when I read it, I'm like, oh my God, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. This is what I'm doing with my life. And it's written by one of my top three writers that's writing comic books right now nowadays, and that would be Fred Van Lente.
Ah.
And this is coming out from our buddies over at Valiant, Archer and Armstrong.
Yeah, I knew you were going to pick that one too.
Number 16 was great. This was the December issue. It was, if I were to pick out, you know, my top 10 single issues that came out over the course of 2013, this issue would be in there.
I'd have to agree with you because I had fallen behind on that, and I went and bought all the ones that I didn't have, and I went through in one sitting and read the whole bunch. And it's good. It's a really, really good book.
It's got a long story. It's got a short story. My only gripe of Valiant is their, you know, and I, this is going to sound a bit ironic, but their recap pages are actually too long. you know, I've bagged on DC consistently for not providing any recap pages or paragraph or whatever. The Valiant ones have turned into full page recaps in small print.
Yeah, you're right.
Because there's so much backstory in all of their books. But Fred Van Lente is really good at, I think you can almost do without the recap page, though it does give some insight, because he's really good at introducing the characters as he initially writes them in each issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's very subversive, the whole, you know, just like the whole line, it's very left-leaning, which I have zero problem with. They're not big fans at Valiant, apparently, of the one percenters or certain righteous groups that are out there.
Yeah, if you read enough comic book writers and artists on Twitter and on Facebook and other stuff, when they talk about their opinions, the majority of them are that way. I mean, there's some exceptions, but you're right.
I think Valiant actually encourages their writers to be left-leaning in their writing. If you read all of their books, you will see that you know, between this and Harbinger and Bloodshot and what's the other one I'm reading from them? I'm blanking all of a sudden. But anyhow, but Archer and Armstrong, consistently great, consistently fun. I love the characters, the two guys. Armstrong is Van Lente. He did basically the same character when he was writing Hercules over at Marvel. Only now he gets to have him do whatever he wants because he's not constrained by corporate. So I hesitate to say that I would give this to someone who hasn't read comic books, but I would be willing to give it to someone who's familiar with comic books.
That makes sense. I would agree with you there.
But that number 16, there's a scene in there at the end where Archer is secretly videotaping Armstrong as he's saying, "This is the guy you're up against." And you're watching him, Armstrong in the background. He's picking his nose and then eating the booger that he
pulled out of his nose. Yeah, I know. I caught that after reading it through a second time. Yeah, first, he did.
Yeah. The art is Cary Evans, who was doing the art on that one, easily carried the issue as much as Fred Van Lente did. Obviously, Van Lente has run the whole 16 issues plus the zero issue, so I got to give him full props. But Cary Andrews is.
The art was okay for me. I don't know, but it was still good.
That subtle little moment where he's secretly videotaping him, saying, "This is the guy you're worried about," as he's picking his nose. I haven't had a laugh out loud moment in a comic book in a while, but that was a real one. So.
Yep. Yep. It's a good one.
Thank you.
Alrighty. I'm just gonna go over my list here. I'm gonna go with my favorite trade series.
Okay.
Uh-huh. There are very few series that I get by trade. Mostly I pick up the issues, but if I start a series in trade and I like it, then I tend to finish it in trade. And
okay.
I never ever go back and pick up the singles. But anyway, this is Chew. John Layman and something Guillory?
Yeah.
Dave Guillory?
I don't know. I got the first volume of that on here on the Comixology when it was on sale. I haven't read any of the others.
Oh, I love it. As soon as a new trade comes out, I grab it, I read it, I reread all the... They're quick reads. Like, it's a quick read, but it's so good.
Yeah, that was some pretty funny stuff, I have to admit.
Uh-huh.
So what about... Why do you wait for the trades rather than getting the floppies or the monthlies?
Because it's going to look better on my shelf. And it's going to drive me bananas if I have half the series in trade and then I have to go into a comic box to get the rest out. Or I have to, like, with the Sixth Gun, okay, there I broke my trade thing. I bought the first trade, and then since then I've been picking up the monthlies. So I'm trying to think how I store it. I think I store the trade on the shelf under the steps with all the singles kind of stacked up beside it.
Well, I don't... Speaking of that, because I've got the first three or four volumes of the Sixth Gun, did you know that they're coming out with hardcover versions?
Yeah, I think I heard that. Yeah.
So that I don't have them in any kind of physical format, but I think I might get those hardcovers.
So Chew works better as a binge read, is what you're saying.
For me, it does. I think issue by issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think each issue would probably read quickly, and there's enough happening in each issue that I want to read right through. I don't want to wait a month to find out what happens. I'd rather wait 6 months and then read a big chunk of them.
See, that's how I do Walking Dead, except for I wait a year and get the hardcovers.
Yeah, Walking Dead I haven't reread since. I haven't picked anything up since I was off that year. Huh.
Yeah, huh. I got the nine. Luckily, it was one of the ones I've probably lost 2 to 3 hardcovers, Walking Dead hardcovers, in the Great Flood of 2013. But the last one,
dear.
The last one that I just bought, I haven't read yet. It actually survived it, so I'll have to read it yet.
And was Layman still doing Detective? I can't recall.
I don't know. I haven't read Detective in a long time.
Is doing Detective until...
the guys from The Flash take over.
Until the guys from The Flash take over. And then I forget what he's doing. I think he's still doing some Batman thing.
He's doing the Gothopia. I know what that's
maybe
his.
He is,
that's
yeah.
His...
Maybe he's not doing Batman after that. I think he's still got stuff cooking with DC. I just don't know what. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Either I don't remember or we haven't been told.
Okay.
But either way, he is a funny, funny man.
And Chu is that Vertigo or is it Image?
Image.
Image.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, it's an interest. Because it was on sale for like $4, the first volume on Comixology, and I picked it up. And it's a really interesting concept. I just, it wasn't interesting enough for me to read it again, though, unfortunately.
What?
Well, I don't know. I could give it a try later, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think Breaking Bad, it takes a little bit to get into, and then once you're into it, you can't get out.
We were watching a couple episodes last night, and I'm like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I stopped around the third season, but I would really like to watch all of it since it actually ended.
Yeah.
Come on, Marie. You'll love it. I was watching an interview with Brian...
Watching
an interview with the creator earlier, the guy who created X-Files as well, but he was saying that his initial pitch was to start off with a good guy and make him a bad guy by the end of the show. So,
yeah.
Well, that didn't take that long to happen.
I don't know. I was watching a couple episodes last night, and it was fine, but...
It's like watching a train wreck.
Whatever.
Or a car accident, you know?
Okay.
Okay,
we'll see. We will see. I keep waiting for Malcolm to jump out.
I got one that's along the lines of Caleb was saying about the one he looks forward to reading every month and can't wait for the next one to come out. And I had kind of fallen off of it, but I recently caught up with it as well and read a bunch of them. And that would have to be Daredevil by Mark Waid and Chris Samnee, I believe that's his name.
And others.
Yeah, that's true. He's the most consistent one, but there is others. Yeah, I'm looking here. That book has gotten better as time went on. And I know they're ending it. I think there's like two more issues left. They're ending it, and they're going to do a volume 4 where he goes to San Francisco. Where it should be really interesting, which the story's developed to that point where, I mean, he's going to kind of have to... So, anyway, I love that book. It is, you know, almost four-dimensional in scope. I never read Daredevil before, and I was hooked on the first issue. And like I said, it just gets better and better. I remember rereading the one with the coyote in it where, you know, the teleport collars that separated the heads from bodies and... That was just awesome.
I would also put that in my category of a book I would give to someone who has not read comics. I'd forgotten about Daredevil, and I would.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna start buying the trades of it, just because I like it so much. Even though I have all the issues on Comixology, and it's just that good. So there's three or four of them out, I think. But yeah, that's good. It's my favorite book that Marvel's putting out for sure, and it might be my favorite book that's out at all right now. Which, you know, saying that about a Marvel book, you know, that's a bold statement for me.
I'm disappointed that Marvel feels the need to put out a new number one, but
yeah,
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand A, the sales reasons, and B, apparently this is a real it will be a real shift in tone.
Yeah, it's going to be.
So,
I'm just glad he's still on it, because I heard they're going to cancel it. I was really upset about it. But now that the two of them are going to be just starting it over, but yeah, with the move to San Francisco and everything, so it should be an interesting.
think that's a great choice. I cannot believe that I had forgotten to put that one on my list altogether. That is.
Yeah, I am shocked too, because I know you. I don't know which one of us got the other one into it, but that is just an excellent. I look forward.
That was real. That was a real miss on my part. I can't believe I at least didn't give it an honorable mention. So.
You're so ashamed. I'm so ashamed of you. Dorp. Or is it? Dorp. As the nephew say, derp. Whatever the hell that is.
Means exactly what I just did.
Ah.
Derp.
And I really got to catch up on Hawkeye. I've got a bunch of them bought that I haven't read yet. I've got it even subscribed, and I just. I've been on a kick with not reading anything there for a while, and now I'm going back and picking up the slack. So, anyway.
My next category is the best comic book related thing in another media.
Okay.
And at first blush, I was going to do Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I was going to do that just because I really enjoy watching it with the kids. It's really a fun show to watch with the kids. For that alone, because it's, you know, it's meant for a mass audience. And I thought, well, okay, what's more mass audience than, you know, a 6-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 45-year-old? You know, that kind of covers a breadth rather than, except for maybe the 20s. But then I thought about it a little bit more, and I thought, well, no, I'm going to go even deeper. And it's actually a show that's been on for a couple of years. The main character is Twilight Sparkle, and I went with My Little Pony: Friendship is Magic as my favorite other media comic book related thing.
What did you say?
I said My Little Pony: Friendship is Magic, the cartoon.
Huh? Okay.
That came out of left field.
Yeah, you didn't see that. That really did, dude.
So it's got Twilight Sparkle as the main character with her friends Applejack, Rarity, Fluttershy, Rainbow Dash, and Pinkie Pie. It is subtle. It is funny. It is age appropriate across the board, top to bottom, age wise. You can sit down with a 5-year-old. You can sit down with a 40-year-old who has a sense of humor. And enjoy this book, or enjoy the book, enjoy the cartoon. And the comic books are fun too. The Katie Cook ones that are out there, I get those all for my youngest, and of course my oldest one read them as well, and I've read them. They're just, it's a fun show. It's not a 2013 show, I get it, but we didn't experience it until 2013, so that's why I am stretching the point a little bit. So.
That's perfectly fine.
Thanks, I appreciate it. And again, you know, you gotta give Katie Cook huge props for being able to adapt what is an incredibly diverse show, which has had a couple years to build up its viewership as well as its content, and be able to put it into a comic book. So Katie Cook deserves all the award nominations she's getting this season, as well as all the best 50 lists or 10 lists or whatever that she's on for 2013 as well.
That's cool.
We're going to send you a sparkly saddle in the mail. All dazzled and shiny and sparkly.
Oh boy. Question mark?
Oh my goodness!
My taste can run the gamut. Clearly, I'm not a brony. They call guys who are into the show bronies. I'm really not that hardcore because I can't remember most of the characters' names. But I'm not a brony, but I play one on TV. No. Anyhow. Yeah. Honestly, Chris, your nephews would dig on this show. They may pretend that they don't, but they will. It's not just a girl show. And Murray is in no position to ever make fun of watching My Little Pony, given his Hannah Montana stuff. So I feel comfortable enough.
I'd have to.
I can look back on the Hannah Montana shows now and see them in a whole different light.
Yeah, especially if you ever watched any of What's-Her-Name's videos lately.
That's it. See, I can watch them through the filter of Wrecking Ball foam fingers and tongues. And I can like, it's full of subtext now.
I bet it is.
They did an episode about her on Family Guy that was on a couple of years ago, which it was clearly premonitioning like what was happening to that poor girl.
Wasn't she in it too? Seems like, yes. I read that.
Yes. So, but again, I was hard pressed to set Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. aside, but I'm happy with my decision.
Well,
all right.
That's quite all right.
Thanks. Top that.
Wow, or I don't know if I can.
Top that. I will go out with my favorite series that comes out too infrequently.
Okay.
This is a series every Wednesday. I go to Comixology and I look for it, and it's not there. And I've become accustomed to the fact that it's probably now a quarterly. Maybe it's going to come out every, like, three times a year or whatever. But when it comes out, it's great. I just wish it would come out, like, more than every 3 or 4 or 5 months. However, it's really good. It's Bandette by Monkey Brain.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, another Monkey Brain.
I've forgotten all about that book, to tell you the truth.
DCC, but it's so good. It's good. It's good. It's just one of those things you got to wait for.
Yeah, I'd have to give you. I would agree.
Now that one's getting republished as well, too. I think.
I don't know. I think publish it. I don't know. It's. Until they have a storyline finished, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, publish it without, I don't know. Like, it's they don't, I don't think they have enough. Yeah, I don't even think they have enough material to make a trade that would be worthwhile, right?
They started a second arc, but it's like one issue of it was out, right?
They finished the first arc?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm looking for it on here right now.
Mm. Monkey Brain. It's only out through number 5. This was one of their first titles, and it's only out through number 5. Wow. Goodness.
Yeah. It comes out. Well, then they do one. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, I don't even have the fifth one.
Shame on you. Well, that's why they haven't got the sixth one out. They haven't sold enough yet.
Well, I just clicked buy, so I thought she had a street urchin story or something like that thing out.
They've talked about something coming out. They talk about lots of things until I actually see it.
No, I understand. I understand. I never did finish that High Crimes, though, that Roberson's wife, what was her name again? I forget. But she was
High Crimes.
Yeah, High Crimes. She
writing
was
writing it. She's editing it. She's not writing it.
I'm saying she was the one that was giving it such great.
That's another one that needs to finish because it's got about 5 issues out and it's also not finished. There's a lot of great series on Monkey Brain that are slow to finish.
Well, yeah, it's because they've got.
I know, they've got to find work that pays the rent and blah, 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 and feed their kids, wear clothes and stuff, but come on.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yes, High Crimes, yeah, that's another series that's just kind of waiting, and I think there's only like an issue or two left, and then it's done. Mm-hmm. Or at least the first storyline's done, and I would expect it would be done, but it'll eventually come out, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I remember at least in High Crimes, in the last text pages in the back, they said, okay, we're ready to go monthly again, and I know it's been at least 2 months since the last issue came out.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a lot longer than 2 months. It's been...
Really?
Oh, yeah. Really? It was the summer. It came out in the summer. And while I still think it's the summer, it's really not. It's December.
If you look out your window.
That's 4 months after traditional summer. Maybe it came out in the fall. I doubt it.
It's been almost 4 months. Good golly, Miss Molly.
See?
Yeah, that's something.
Monkey Brain puts out some incredibly great stuff, but if they can't be consistent, then it's going to be difficult to.
Absolutely. That is going to be a problem for them if they don't get that taken care of, you know.
I remember that was a big deal with Image. Image was, you know, they certainly slipped off sales.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good Lord, yeah. They were terrible on shipping things.
No one wanted to wait for their stuff. Oh, my God, it was September that High Crimes number 5 came out. Oh, wow, I thought it had just been like a month or two, but it's been almost 5 months.
See, that's why the ones I really liked, I went ahead and just subscribed to them since they were a buck. That way, when they did come out, I would know. Because they tell you ahead of time when you get an email when something you subscribe to is out.
When did that last issue of Bandette come out? I'm curious.
I have no idea.
I'm about to find out. Not to rag on them in any way. Oh my golly gee whiz, July.
Mm-hmm. I thought so.
Wow. And Paul Tobin's he's a known quantity.
Yeah.
All right. Well, they're lost. That's people are going to forget about the books, and if they're not subscribing via Comixology, they are going to get missed.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Quality or no quality.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely right. Let's see. It's my turn.
All right. Well, I'm gonna to fill a little time as Murray walks away, and I know this is not a series that he's read or maybe has input on, but there's a series that I revisited. I never read way back when it was being published, and everyone said you better read this book, and I wouldn't read it. And then a series that the writer was working on ended in 2013, so I thought, well, I'll read his old series, and I picked up Preacher from Vertigo.
Okay.
And it was a great read. I'm not kicking myself that I didn't read it at the time that it was coming out, by any stretch. I'm glad I had time to enjoy Garth Ennis's other works in the meantime. Preacher was a lot of fun. It's a great. I can see that this book would easily adapt into a TV show. Incredibly easy adaptation from one or another. It's all story arcs. It's all the same characters. They all have forward momentum. It's a little adult.
Adult?
As most of Garth Ennis' stuff tends to be.
It's true. I like his military stuff better.
But no more so than Walking Dead or other shows that have been adapted. That is my favorite series that I never read originally, but I finally got around to reading in 2013.
Okay.
And for those who were absent, that would be Preacher, Murray.
Right.
Yeah, you skipped me, man.
Did I?
Yeah, it's my turn.
What a maroon. I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
It's all right. No big deal.
What a maroon. What a...
I was going to say, this is kind of sort of in your deal, in your category, but I'm going to call it comics that are fun and made me a fan again would be one. And I'm talking about Amazing X-Men by Jason Aaron and Ed McGuinness with the return of Nightcrawler. I just like the book. I mean, Nightcrawler is always one of my favorite characters. And I even more so when I found out he had gotten killed at one point. And I don't know, I really like the book. It's a lot of fun. It's just a fun book. And it's made me an X-Men fan again. I've gone back in various ways and gotten stuff that's come out since the last Avengers versus X-Men. Read a lot of it. Not all of it, but a good chunk of it. I think the only one I'm still working on is the Wolverine and the X-Men. That's a lot bigger series.
Yes.
Yeah. It's been out there the longest. But they're going to restart that over. Where are they? No, I don't think they are. But anyway, that would be the one. It's fun. It's a fun book.
Plus, it's got Firestar in it.
Yeah, I know. I like that.
And Iceman.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, all you need is Spider-Man, and you got some amazing friends right there.
You've got Nightcrawler to take that place.
Yeah, that's true, you do.
I agree that's not the one that made me necessarily a fan of X-Men again, but it has been a fun couple of issues. Mm-hmm. I like the whole swashbuckling thing.
I love that stuff anyway.
It's an interesting way to reintroduce the character, and I'm comfortable with the way they're doing it. I'm not always comfortable with how they bring characters back from the dead, but this one I can see how it works.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's a good choice, man.
I love the art too.
Who's on the art? It's McGinnis. Don't tell me. Oh, and McGinnis, that's right. No, that's right. Jason Aaron is the one who's been doing Wolverine and the X-Men too, isn't that right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Wolverine's in that as well. Of course, he's in everything.
including Amazing X-Men.
Yeah, which I caught something reading this that I didn't understand in the first X-Men First Class movie. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah.
There was a teleporter in it, and it was a Nightcrawler. Well, now I know who, and they called him Azazel, which, apparently is Nightcrawler's father. So, explain that for me.
Azazel, yeah, he was in an unfortunately piss poor storyline written by, I can't remember who the writer was. He was a very lambasted X-Men writer. Mm-hmm.
Chuck Austin,
thank you.
I remember reading somewhere how people just couldn't stand him. So
yes, Chuck Austin.
I never heard of the character before. So
he was from. I'm 90% sure Chuck Austin was the one who introduced Azazel. Yeah. Azazel, whatever.
Yeah. So that's my fun book.
He also was Jason Aaron on Immortal Weapons? Did he write?
No, that was there was a couple on that. He might have been. Now that I think about it,
he might have written one of them, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry. All right, skip over me this time. I screwed up. That's okay.
Well, it's Murray's turn now.
What? All right.
Yeah, he's skipping me, so it's your turn.
I'm gonna go with my favorite. I'm going to go with my best single issue, my favorite single issue this year.
Okay, that's a good one.
Uh-huh. Legion of Superheroes number 17.
Really?
Seriously, it was my favorite issue. I read it and reread it and reread it, and I still pull it out and reread it. Now, it's a shame that what came afterwards was... Yeah. Not anything that lived up to the potential of that issue, but
yeah, I'm gonna have to looking for the cover so I can remember what the hell you're talking about.
Which was what happened in number 16?
That was the issue where Levitz and Giffen both came back. They were both working together. The beginning of the Fatal Five storyline, Sunboy gets eaten.
Yes.
It was so cool. It was like you didn't know what was going to happen. It felt energetic. The art just leaped off the page.
It was good, except for the I didn't care for the Sunboy thing because I don't understand why, especially DC right now, is why killing a character is a go-to point for writers. I don't get it.
Legion, they're always getting killed off.
Well, that's true, but it's been a while. I mean, it's
history, right? It was filled with the energy that I want in a Legion book.
Mm-hmm.
And issue before, kind of boring. Issue afterwards, really went off the rails. But that one
good
issue,
Lord, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah,
you could just, on a dime, you could just switch gears and crank out an amazing story. And I wish Giffen had stuck around. I mean, I know the book was being canceled anyway, but it would have been a glorious last six issues. It would have just been amazing. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just mixed emotions about that whole, the way that whole, it all ended up.
Or it ended sadly, but.
Oh, yeah.
That issue, ugh.
They're making it Earth 2 on top of that.
Yeah. However.
Mm-hmm.
That's down the line. This one issue, perfect. Comic perfection.
It was pretty good, I have to admit.
I'm not a fan of Sunboy, so I was not disappointed in the least bit that he was the first character to go. I'm disappointed he went off panel, but that's okay. I think you're right. If Giffen had been allowed to continue with it, we would have gotten more context there. But that's okay. It started off what could have been the awesomeness, the best storyline they had going for them.
Yeah, I definitely had the momentum that whole series had been missing since the New 52 reboot. So
yep.
Yeah. See, Levitz, I think he needs a strong partner to work with.
Yeah.
I think his books, the books from him that I've enjoyed the most have been the ones where he's been paired with a really strong partner who is given just as good as Levitz is giving, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like what you said about Aquaman. I mean, Geoff Johns, he'd had other, you know, what, I don't remember who the artist was before, but when Pelletier came on, the book all of a sudden had momentum. It had something, you know, it was worth picking up month to month as opposed to going, well, I can miss it and not miss a thing.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I think, unfortunately, Levitz has reached that point also. On World's Finest, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah, I haven't read that in a while. It stopped interesting me. I've got some issues I need to read that I've already bought, but I'm disappointed on how that's turned out. Let's see, is it my turn again?
Yeah, man.
All right, what do we got? Well, let's see. We'll give it a best pleasant surprise of 2013. and that would be, some of that came out before that, but it's shaped up very well, I think, in this year, and that would be Valiant Comics.
Ooh, good choice.
The books are fun. Which is something that's missing from DC right now, for the majority of them. Well, almost all of them. I read more Marvel and Valiant than I do them right now. Which is a sad thing for me, because, you know, I'm a big DC fan. But the way the whole thing is, they've got everything going, and they're tied in enough together to be interesting, but you don't have to read the other books to know what's going on. And the thing that that surprises me the most about the whole line that I actually like is there's really no pure good guy or pure bad guy in the book.
Except in Quantum and Woody would say does. Quantum and Woody.
That's the one I don't read.
Ooh, yeah, Quantum is incredibly a good guy, and also in Archer and Armstrong, Archer is a good guy. Well, not anymore. Never mind, I take it back.
That's what I mean. Harada in Harbinger, he thinks he's doing the right thing, and some of the things he's got an idea for are quote unquote good, but his methods about going about them are just totally evil. And I thought the Peter Stanichek character would be somewhat of a hero, but he's not. You got Exo Man of War. Well, he's, you know, claiming Romania as his own, and you got that Unity book going, and you got different elements from those other, you know, other books going in on that. And I'm really impressed when I first heard about them. Oh, they're bringing that, which I never read any about Valiant books before. I was pretty much Marvel or DC, the big two, you know, a snob for independence back then in those days. And since, you know, the stuff that I'm reading isn't, you know, I went to that, and I think only Shadow Man and Quantum and Woody I'm not reading, which who knows, I might pick those up later, but I just love the way they're doing things. They're doing a great job on it, and they're all the books are $3.99, but it doesn't bother me because they're good and they're a decent length. So it doesn't, you know, like the stuff that, you know, they're Marvel and DC are putting out. You know, they're $3, $3.99, and they might be 15 pages, or, you know, that's what Marvel does. It jumps, its page count is never consistent. If you look at them on Comixology, they're all over the place, most of them. But anyway, that's my thing. So
Peter Milligan coming on Shadow Man was a great choice. And I would say the only misstep for me from Valiant in 2013 was Unity.
I have to admit that. I mean, I like the way it ties in, but it is kind of flat.
I'm missing something there, and I don't know what it is yet. But yeah. Quantum and Woody for me has been a buddy book, a road book. It's been a lot of fun. Bloodshot and Hardcore. I was skeptical, but I'm enjoying it. Archer and Armstrong, Harbinger, Eternal Warrior.
Yeah.
I have not read an issue of Exo Man of War, but I may, though. We'll see.
I'm looking here. I do have the newest issue of Shadow Man with Milligan. I just haven't read it yet. So,
anybody who enjoyed Milligan stuff back in the day on Hellblazer or Jade the Changing Man, or any number of things Milligan ever wrote on, it will be pleasantly surprised with how Shadow Man is totally in that same vein.
Yeah, I haven't read any of his stuff that I can think of.
Screamer. I think I read that. Screamer.
Ooh, yes, like, yes.
That was his, wasn't it? Like, yes, way, it way, way, way back.
Never heard of it. It was 34 pages, too. Jeez.
Screamer?
No, the Shadow Man. I was just looking at it. The last two, they're over 30 pages, you know, almost 35 pages. I mean, that's worth $4.
Yeah.
You know,
you're getting your money's worth there.
Yeah. I mean, good Lord. 34 pages in a comic book these days, at any price for a monthly book, that's ridiculous. You don't see that at all.
Crazy.
Yeah. So that's why they're getting my money and stuff like that.
I would like to see letters pages in the Valiant books, but that's just a wish.
Well, that's kind of a, I don't know. I like how Marvel's putting it in there, but I'm not surprised, really.
Oh, God, yeah, Peter Milligan, he did the X-Force Ecstatic stuff, Murray.
Yeah, I've never read that either.
With Mike Allred. Right.
Yeah. Forgot about that. I've got that in a box somewhere under the steps. I've got comics everywhere.
Yeah, I know what you mean. We're on our whole spread out right now, too. I had to disperse them quickly during the Great Flood.
Mommy, what is that poking me in the back? It's one of my comics, dear. I have them everywhere.
Yes, they are everywhere.
We're using them as sheets now. I'm sorry. Good insulation.
Oh, wow.
I used them for Christmas wrapping this year.
Oh, that hurts.
I know. They were old. Like, not old, like, not Silver Age old. They were, like, 90s old.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right. Not the best era for comics.
No. Like, it's not like I could have sold them to anyone or given them away to anyone.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah. Not hard to find by any means.
No, like, next year I might use Countdown.
There you go. All right, let's see.
That's a good choice. The best surprise for 2013, that's for certain. They slipped under the radar, and they're going to continue it. And they've been, and they come out on time.
Yes.
That's, you know that every month there's going to be an issue of Harbinger. Every month there's going to be an issue of Archer and Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad for it. I look forward to those three titles a lot. Eternal Warrior, Harbinger, and Archer and Armstrong.
Yeah.
And Quantum and Woody, four titles that I look forward to every month. And Shadow Man could. If the second issue of Milligan's Run is as good as the first one, that could be five titles from them that are must-reads every month for me.
Yeah. I read everything but those two.
DC's got 50-plus titles, and I can't say that there's five titles that I must read every month.
I can't say there's even one.
I can't, Green Arrow, but that's, I already said.
Well, yeah, I'm working on that, so. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I need to go back and read that. Batman's good, but it's, they've gone on too long with the zero-year thing.
Well, I'm going to stick along those lines, since it is my turn again, I think. Is it?
Yes, it is.
Now
we're at an, I don't know how much longer we're going to go, but we're over an hour right now.
Okay, well, I'll keep it to this category and the next one, then we can, then I'm
okay.
Done.
So, each one of us gets one more run.
Two more.
Ooh, all right.
Two more? Okay, that's fine.
Okay, you don't have to. I can.
I don't care. But,
okay, so I had actually a tie in this next category, which was my favorite publisher of either. And one we just ranted about for a couple minutes, which is Valiant, because there's no doubt that they, you know, more than half the line I look forward to every month. Mm-hmm. But the other one is now Marvel.
Really?
They put out so many decent, really good titles. They've got all new X-Men. They've got Amazing X-Men, Wolverine and the X-Men. Oh my God, Thunderbolts. Deadpool.
Yeah, see, I'm
Daredevil, Hawkeye. The new Black Widow book looks like it's going to be really good coming here in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think my biggest gripe with them is they keep, you know, putting out the new number ones all the time.
Yeah.
And the Avengers books. I mean, for that last thing with Thanos was really was good. It was a little drawn out, but it was still good.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of it? Infinity.
Yep.
Yeah, I haven't read any of that.
Which was it was good, and they're taking chances. They're using creators. Guardians of the Galaxy. There's a book that slipped in that I'm not going to read Guardians. Of course, I'm reading Guardians of the Galaxy every month now. And just like with Valiant, they're putting their stuff out on time, for goodness sake.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know that I'm going to get, you know, an issue and a half of new X-Men, you know, every 2 to 4 weeks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I know that people complain about the double shipping or whatever each month, but sometimes that's costly. But given that their line of actual monthly titles is much shorter of a list than DC's, as long as they put out quality books, I'm okay with that. And their books have been quality. Bendis is writing good books again. Nova. I don't know if you're reading Nova right now, but that's a really fun title.
Yeah, I'd like to get that.
And they're going to reintroduce the new Warriors pretty soon coming up. So
yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Between them and Valiant, I have hope for the past and the future of comic books. DC will get it together eventually. They're never going to go away. They'll have an opportunity to pull their heads out of their butts. And
well, they're heavily corporate controlled right now, so.
And so, well, once corporate realizes that they're getting their butts kicked by a company called Valiant, and Superior Spider-Man. How could I forget to mention that?
You know, I need to get back on my Spider-Man reading binge and get caught up to that, because I keep hearing lots of really good stuff about it.
The Superior Foes of Spider-Man. Murray, you would love that book. That's a fun, goofy... Did you ever see The Italian Job? It's kind of like that.
Yeah, okay. That would be cool.
Yes, it's like that. Or, I mean, I could go on with titles that I look forward to from them every month. But the bottom line is, I'm glad Marvel is using... all of their tools, and they're not slaving themselves to the other media that they have out there, the movies and the TV show, which is good.
Well, that's because they've got it, you know, covered.
Yes. And that Children of the Atom series was pretty good, or Battle of the Atom, excuse me.
That was what really got me energized about X-Men again, I think. I really did enjoy that.
Looking forward to Peter David coming back with X-Factor.
Yeah, I think I'm going to start reading that when they relaunch it.
And Young Avengers, Avengers Arena. Oh my God! I mean, the list goes on of books. And that's I'd be a broke man if I bought all my comic books.
Yeah,
but would you be a broke back man?
It is Arizona.
I can't quit Marvel. I can't quit you, Marvel.
Oh, you're funny.
All right. Yeah. Okay, so that's my favorite publishers of 2013. It's a strong tie between Valiant and Marvel. And the only reason Valiant didn't take it full blown is simply because of the quantity of books that Marvel puts out each month that I look forward to.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Alrighty. I will go with my favorite indie series. And it could have been Morning Glories. And it could have been Rachel Riley.
Whoa.
Whoa, what?
Somebody put a blanket over your head?
Oh, no, somebody put a blanket over your ears, I think.
No, okay, I can hear you now.
At the same time, you both were suddenly ear blocked.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, so it's us that has the problem. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, good. Repeat that on a loop.
There you go.
It could have been Morning Glories. It could have been...
Rachel Rising.
Yeah, I need to read that too.
I just took all three of my favorite indie series out, reread them all this weekend.
Wow.
And they're all really good. Like, not from beginning to end. I reread the last couple of arcs. And they're all good. They're all very, very good. Morning Glories is very good.
I just couldn't stay into that book.
Being glared at. Hang on.
Okay.
I got to put you on mute for just a minute.
All right.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Talk amongst myself. Okay. Morning Glories. I just could not get into that book.
I lost it. I'm sorry. Morning Glories got... I kept up. I caught up when we were gonna do the Morning Glories episode, and I tried to keep up, and I just couldn't.
I started the second volume, but I never finished it. I don't really remember.
I've never even read an issue on the Rachel Rising thing, which I hear nothing but great things about.
Yeah.
I've never even read an issue of Strangers in Paradise, so I'm an idiot.
They had a sale of they've got all the volumes on Comixology. And they had a sale. I picked up the first one, and it was interesting. I don't know if I'd read anymore.
Alrighty.
Okay, you back?
Yeah.
I'm back. I've been sufficiently scolded.
Okay, well, you're almost done. We're almost out of here.
Alrighty. Anyway, Rachel Rising, good book, good reading, but you really need to sit down and read it like from... You can't read it in single issues. It's not really a good single issue read. And Morning Glories is also a really good read, but it's a confusing read. It's very thinky, and if you're not rereading it as you go, I get lost from issue to issue. But if you like sitting down and rereading the whole thing, it's really good. Like, it's very, very good. It's like Lost done right. Although Lost was done right up until the end, and then they just kind of...
Oh, God, yeah, tell me about it. Jeez.
But this is... I think it'll be good. But my favorite series, The Sixth Gun. Easily.
Holy crap.
Heads and shoulders. It's good. And it's so easy to pick up in singles. Like, you can read it storyline by storyline in trades if you want, but you can pick up the single issues, and every issue has got a couple of different ways to recap the previous story. Like, there's like a previously on page, which kind of recaps the stuff you need to know, and then they give you the top six important characters in that storyline, and they give you a little bits of information about each of those characters. It's so easy to just pick up an issue, read that previously page, and then dive right in. And it's like month after month, consistently a good, strong story and beautiful artwork, and you get a beginning, middle, and end, even though it's told in like six month chunks, right? Like, it's story arc by story arc, but even within each little chapter, you get a good beginning, middle, and end, and you get a cliffhanger, and it's good. I am totally looking forward to seeing how that series wraps up eventually. So that, favorite indie series.
All right, then. Okay, what am I going to come up with? This category is... I'm really glad it's back. That would be Astro City.
Choice.
I got hooked on that. I picked up a trade because I heard a lot of stuff about it. I got hooked on it a long time ago, and I was reading them monthly, and even after DC picked it up, the whatever homage or whatever it was, the Wildstorm universe all together, I believe. And, you know, I just love the book, and the new one, you know, even though it's $4, it's a good book. They're one and done so far. That's one of the things I like about it, and they're just the... Kurt Busiek is one of the best writers out there, and he is absolutely a master of character. And probably another good example of that would be that, God, I can't remember the name of it now, Secret Identity book that he did about basically a guy that was named Clark Kent, and, you know, Superman was a fictional character, but then all of a sudden he gets Superman's powers. And, I mean, that's kind of a weird premise, but the way he does it, it's so realistic of what, you know, a person would be, and that's kind of what I like about those comics like that, is they're more real. He does characters that you can actually believe that would react that way.
I'm really liking the latest couple issues where it's actually a longer story, and it's really... It's been it's been easy to follow from issue to issue. I actually thought I'd missed an issue, and I did. It turned out I had, and the only reason I thought I had is because he referenced something in the letters page that had mentioned in one of the... And it was like, wait a minute, I don't remember that. And I realized, oh, I had missed an issue, but it had nothing to do with the actual comic that made me feel like I missed anything.
Yeah.
Even though it was part of the larger story that's going on right now.
Yeah.
Music is
I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he's healthy. I'm glad he's working again. I hope.
Yeah, that's the best part.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. A lot of the stuff that I'm really fond of, he's written. So, I'm trying to think of something. Oh well, the JLA versus Avengers, one of my favorite books of all time, I would say.
The original Thunderbolts issues.
Yeah, I read that for a while. I need to get trades of that and read it again. It's good stuff.
And Mark Bagley.
Woo-hoo. Yep. I'm looking at. I'm going to mention that I'm more than likely going to be at Planet Comic Con in March. It's up in Kansas City, March 14th through 16th. And it's absolutely positively now. Looks like William Shatner's going to be there. I'm just checking their website. You got Cullen Bunn, Jason Aaron, Paul Cooperberg, Rick Remender, all of the Star Trek Next Generation cast except for Patrick Stewart's going to be there, and a whole bunch of other people. So I'm looking forward to that. Anyway,
you gotta check out the Brett Spiner YouTube series.
Oh yeah, I'll have to do that.
Absolutely freaking hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, he's great. I saw him. I don't know, about 10 or 15 years ago, and he is hilarious. He really is. So.
Well, real quick, my favorite graphic novel, original graphic, or adaptation graphic novel from 2013 was Artemis Fowl. My favorite Steady Eddie series was Fables. And my favorite month-to-month comic was X-Men Legacy.
Really? X-Men Legacy. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really care for that book either. I don't know.
You wouldn't. The art is too funky for you, man.
Oh, yeah. That much I know.
But it is for an X-Men book, it is very cerebral. And it is, but it's also action-packed and just lots and lots of big hair in that comic book.
It's the age all over again.
It is. Absolutely. It's might as well have Scorpion doing the soundtrack to it.
All right.
Artemis Fowl ones, if you're a fan of the books, read the comic books. And Fables has never failed to impress.
Yeah, I'm gonna start getting the deluxe editions of that and start over.
Get the trades, get the deluxes, whatever. I think Murray, like what you were saying with some of the other series that you like to chunk read. Fables is definitely a chunk read.
Yeah.
Yeah. It reads best in chunks, I think.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think I hate to say it, but X-Men Legacy will probably read a lot easier in chunks, but month to month, as someone who's followed it month to month, I'm happy that I have.
Yeah. You're talking about Fables?
I am talking about. No, that one was X-Men Legacy. That one was.
Oh, X-Men Legacy, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, but more and more, I think I'm veering towards your way of thinking, Murray, which is a lot of these may not necessarily be written as six issue arcs, but they are easier to digest or enjoy in blocks.
Oh, now I remember why I brought up that Comic-Con. Terry Moore's going to be there.
You said Colin Bunn was going to be there too, and you were
Well, just added that just a minute ago, but that's I just saw the other day that Tony Moore's going to be there, so that's one of the that tied into Strangers of Paradise. So
that's Terry Moore. That's Terry Moore, man.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Tony Moore was Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
Maybe I've got to. I don't know. I saw one of them. One of them's going to be there. Matt Kent is going to be there.
Alan Moore is going to be there.
Dan Scott is going to be there. Wait a minute. I'm thinking of the guy that writes Spider-Man. Never mind.
You're thinking Dan Slott.
Totally different person. Never mind. Anyway, I'm going. I just haven't.
Betty White. Betty White will be there.
Yeah, she might. Oh, Darwin Cook is, though. I'm going to get him to sign my New Frontier Absolute Edition.
Get him to sign Betty White.
That would be interesting. She'd probably let him. Oh, and Scott Snyder as well will be there. Anyway, sorry. I got it on there.
Phoenix Comic Con has got Bruce Campbell so far. They have not announced.
Wow.
They have not announced anyone else yet.
That's good. Oh yeah, Margot Kidder, Lee Majors. It's gonna be there. John Ratzenberger. I have no idea why. Jewel Sadie.
Toy Story. Because of the Toy Story movies.
Well, he apparently was in a bunch of Star Wars movies too. Background.
He was. He was in Star Wars, the first one. He was the one who tells Luke that his ship.
Yeah. He was ready,
That was Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And then he was in the first two Superman movies as well.
Yeah, that's right. It says so right there. It says first appearance at Planet Comic Con. So, anyway. Yeah, Shatner is going to be there.
The Shat.
Yes, he is. The email updates on this page do not work at all. Because I've signed up for him and I haven't got one yet. But anyway, good news. Get to see the Shat. The last time he was in... I didn't do it because he wanted $80 just for a chance to maybe get a autograph, but I don't know. I might pay to see him again. I don't know. Anyway.
I just watched Galaxy Quest a couple weeks ago, so...
Oh, that's something. All right, well, we better wrap this up before Murray gets a divorce. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because, you know, it did wonders for me, but anyway.
Hey, Murray. Hoping for a snow day, man. Snow day.
Yeah, hope snow day for you. I'm hoping.
Hope so.
All right, here we go. As always, you can send us an email at podcast@tellsfromthelawnbox.com and let us know what you think about this episode or, you know, what you want to see, what you hate, what you really, I don't know, whatever. Whatever you want to talk about, we'll talk about it. Also, you can join us on the Facebook page. Just do a little search for Tales from the Long Box Podcast. You can't miss it. And as always, you can comment on the actual episodes. I know you people are downloading them because I can see the little thing. You know, there's people downloading these. I know people are listening. So, you know, kind of just give us a holler. Just if you just want to say hey, that'd be fine. So anyway, yeah, that's about it. That's it for this week. And we're out.